You're not going to notice a sound of a beer opening on this show because I'm drinking a Peter wine, which is basically, and by basically I mean exactly, wine. No, beer poured in a wine glass.
Life's not like flat, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to poop, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it, fuck you.
Kick it. Everybody, welcome to our show. I don't know if you've heard, but we've switched. We're in a sports format now, my friends. It's March Madness, and never has the March been more mad than it is today. I'm Pete, and I'm in a suit next to a bald black guy. So get ready for the most exciting hour of sports you've seen since the last hour of sports, which was the hour right before this hour. We've got a lot of highlights for you. There was a man who took a ball in a basket, and he put the ball in the basket. It was far over his head. And as far as over his head as it was, it would be twice as far over your heads. That's how big this man was that I'm speaking of at this point. Would you believe it? I believe it. This is where we live. In a world of basketballs, footballs, soccer balls, which are also footballs, tennis balls, tennis rackets, horse betting rackets. This is where we live today. This is what we have. I don't really know much about sports. However, I was asked to participate in a March Madness. And I wanted to fill out a bracket. However, I did not do this in time because I didn't realize when I got this email that I had like 4 days and did not even actually know. This is embarrassing. This is like, you know, when I was a kid, before the internet days, if you had a problem, let's say you thought you might have a hemorrhoid and you wanted to know what to do about it. You had two options. You could try and stay up late and call Adam and Dr. Drew, or you could look it up in the encyclopedia and be like, oh, Christ, you know? So, of course, I looked up hemorrhoid in the encyclopedia. And God bless the Encyclopedia Britannica. Not only was it in there, it actually gave you some suggestions on how to deal with this, which I used with a plum. I ate a plum, and that helped my stools be less hard. The end. So I have a March Madness bracket to fill out, is what I'm getting at here. And what prevented me from doing this is that I have no idea how one fills out a March Madness bracket. Forget the whys, forget the whos, forget the wheres, forget the schools involved and the parents of the schools involved. I was at a loss. Have you ever been at a loss? Have you ever been scared and not known what to do? I've been there, but we could be there together. Here's what I decided. I said, fuck it. I'll look up online. I'll figure out how to do it like I would have in the Britannica. And then, you know, these teams come up and I know nothing about them. So then I found a bracket where you pick based on the mascot. and that helps you decide which to pick. So I thought to myself, self, next year you are going to be ready for March Madness. You'll simply fill out the bracket this year, file it away. I have files. This is probably part of why I'm not good at March Madness, is because I'm a grown man with a filing cabinet. Do you have a filing cabinet in your home? And do you know the names of some of the folders in the filing cabinet? If you answered no to most of these questions, I respect you less. But thanks for listening. Hey! And cut. So here's what I thought. I'm going to fill out this bracket based on mascots, right? Then I don't have to make the choice. So I printed this out. However, there's no names next to the mascots. So most of the time, I have to guess what these things are. For example, this first one is a red bird or a different sort of bird that's blue or a dog. I don't know how there's three. I'll just stick with the birds. I'm crossing out the dog because it should be bird on bird. And I'm going to go with the red bird because I find the colors much more attractive. The blue bird is very Aztec looking. The Aztecs, I don't know if they played basketball. I don't know if there's enough tearing out of hearts in basketball to keep their interest. Next, we have some kind of a tiger, I think, and the Colorado State Rams, which I know because I went to that school for one semester. Most memorably, I went there in order to suffer a terrible head injury on a skateboard and be concussed. I also ate pizza. One time, the food there was so terrible that I went to their food place and I took like 8 of what I thought were like little pizza pockets, and they turned out to be Parmesan chickens. I was curious why the lunch lady, or whatever you call them, was so curious of why I was taking so many. You know, she seemed to feel like this was a lot, and I was like, these are like pizza rolls. That's not that many pizza rolls. Then I crashed on my skateboard. That was the first time. The concussion crash was actually the next morning. I crashed. My clamshell full of chicken parmesans went flying across the sidewalk all over, but I was hungry and didn't want to go back because the lady had given me such a hard time about taking 8 chicken parmesans that I thought were pizza rolls that I was like, I can't go back. So I collected them and ate them in my dorm, where I discovered that number one, they were full of grit from the sidewalk, and number two, they were not pizza rolls, but solid chicken breasts, which were terrible, and I think I ate one of and one half of one other for breakfast. So I think I'm going to have to go with the tiger thing, because that's not a good memory. That is not, those were bad memories. So fuck that school. All right, next we've got what appears to be a cowboy in a red hat with a mustache versus Donald Duck. This is confusing. I don't know if Disney is a basketball affiliation. Does Disney have a basketball team? Space Jam? That's Looney Tunes. But, I mean, it would follow suit that probably if Looney Tunes has the Space Jam team, then, you know, why wouldn't Disney have whatever they have, you know, Astro Jam or something? Which would be like Space Jam, but less murderous, probably. More wholesome. More princesses. This is the problem with the Disney universe. More babes, but too wholesome of babes. You know, it's like if someone tries to tell you to pick up chicks in church, it's like, yeah, there might be a lot of hot babes there, but are they, you know, wanting to, as they say, take my penis out of my pants and place it in their oral reception zone? As they say. So I'm going, you know what? I'm going to go with Donald Duck. The reason being, any school that has the balls to use Donald Duck as their mascot must have something good going on. What do we have next? I can't even really tell what this is. Some kind of chubby alien? Chubby blue alien? It looks like an onion with eyes. Or another cowboy. I mean, fuck it. I guess I could pick one cowboy, right? This one's just wearing all black. He looks a little bit like the guy from Village People. But hey, what the hell? You know, I'm down. Now we have another tiger. Or a knight? Some kind of a knight? All right. Well, that's obvious. Going with a knight there. I don't know why people are obsessed with tigers, because they got the stripes and they're cats. I mean, if we really like tigers this much, how have we not domesticated a tiger at this point? Or added tiger stripes to a cat? It doesn't seem that hard, science. I have this theory about science I was telling my old boss the other day. You know, I was thinking about herpes, right? We've had herpes forever. We have. Me. For my whole life. And, you know, it's been around forever. With these herpes, why aren't they cured? This seems curable. It's like a sore on your skin. I mean, seems like we've got most of the skin stuff dealt with at this point. Why not herpes? But it came to me. It's because scientists are fucking nerds. And they're not banging around town all day. Therefore, they don't have herpes. Therefore, they're not motivated to cure herpes. All we need to do is simply, on the sly, infect many scientists with herpes. Give them incentive to cure herpes. And then all of a sudden, we're looking made in the pink shade. Next, we have got some kind of a Spartan guy, that guy with the brush on his head, versus what appears to also be a Spartan guy. One is in profile, one is in three-quarters profile. That's great. You know, I don't know. This is a really bad... I'm going to pick the second one because he looks like a character from medieval times. Most delicious chicken I've ever had that I ate with no silverware. All right, next we have Falco from Star Fox and a fat-faced bear. I don't understand these... Why are there so many bird mascots? Everyone makes a big deal out of the cats and the Spartan-y guys, but there are an awful lot of birds. I've never really been excited about having a bird, you know what I mean? Like, oh my god, this bird is incredible. What would I like to use to represent my school? I don't know, this majestic bird with a tiny neck. I mean, I guess I'll go with this drunken bear. I don't really like him, but what choice do you have? Next, we've got what appears to be Satan versus Scooby-Doo. That's a great one, actually. That's a good matchup because, I mean, Scooby-Doo has actually been fighting the forces of Satan. That's kind of that's his thing, right? That's what they do. Scooby-Doo didn't have Satan, he'd have nobody. You know? I'm going to have to, you know, and Scooby-Doo wins, but I don't think he wins, really. I mean, these guys just won't go so far as to murder, you know. They don't say, like, well, you found out my plot, so I guess it's time to roll you into the spike pit where the walls close in and smash you all together. You know, and Fred admits he never really liked, what's-her-face, Daphne. He was actually into Velma, he cops a feel, and then he gets stabbed in the eyes with the spikes. That episode never happened, but if the real Satan was there, I would think that would happen. Plus, I mean, you gotta go Satan. Why not? Most of my hopes are riding on Satan, really, so it would be crazy not to put my basketball hopes on him as well. Next, we've got a bulldog versus a leopard, I guess. I mean, I don't like either of those. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of boring. Bulldog? Why is everyone so excited about bulldogs, too? They need to get, like, a pit bull. Those things kill people, man. Bulldog? I mean, a bulldog I would never be too scared of, because I'd be pretty confident that it's like, well, if I went upstairs, he'd be like, oh, fuck that shit. My head weighs, like, 800 pounds. I'm not going up. I feel like if they got in an elevator, the force of the elevator would break their neck. That said, I do like that some of these bulldog teams have an actual dog that's their mascot. So I gotta pick that one. Circling these. Next we have what is one of those creatures that I don't actually know, a badger or a wolverine or something like that. And a man who appears to be made of wheat. It's a fighting wheat men. I mean, I like the point that they made a guy. You know what I mean? They made their own guy. They didn't just make Donald Duck or be like, I don't know, adopt an animal. I mean, I like that it's a guy because then you could have a guy. You know, just stuff a bunch of hay in a guy. It'd be like those dummies at Halloween that every one of those is like a mascot for them. That's pretty fun. Ugh, I'm taking that. Next, we have another, like a badger or a skunk or something. And we have a bear who's wearing a suit and a fedora and holding his ears out to the side, making a face. I don't know how I feel about that. He looks like he is either a goofball or he might be like an offshore investment banker. So I'm going to go with that because I like that idea that he's got this whole backstory. I wish these mascots had a backstory, not like, you know, oh, the old dean of the school came up with this idea, you know, when he was drunk and sleeping with an undergrad boy. I would prefer that it was like they made up a fictionalized thing where it's, you know, this bear, you know, this great bear once upon a time was, you know, a loan shark and he broke a bunch of people's legs, but then he became the mascot of our school for basketball. Gets you in the mood, right? Okay. Next, we have another wildcat in purple silhouette. That's fucking lazy. Versus what appears to be a pirate looking through a binocular, but just the one. A telescope? A monocular? A one-ocular? A wocular? I mean, I don't like that the pirate is looking through that thing. I don't like that. But I don't really like the cat either. This is a terrible choice. I mean, at least he has a tool. You know, I feel like you could, in a basketball riot, really bash someone over the head with a good monocular. I also had a monocular when I was a young man. When I was a young man, I was like, you know how you see these old guys? These are guys who, to them, the Leatherman is the best invention of the last 50 years. They're like, wait a minute, I could carry in my pocket 50 tools that I don't want, and everyone, you know, when I say I'm going to pull out my Leatherman, says, oh, Christ. Okay, take your fucking time, you old piece of shit. I could do that, and I only have to carry one humongous tool the size of a baby's entire forearm. That's great. I was like that when I was a kid. I was like, I'm going to carry matches, and I had a monocular to look at things with for no reason. It was like walkie-talkies, you know, I'd be like, tell my friend, I'd be like, go to the other side of the lake, and then be over on that side of the lake, and I'm going to look at you through the monocular, and then we'll go home. That's it. Let's see what else we've got. We got another wildcat versus a bear. They're both blue. Jesus. I don't even know. I mean, at least the bear has a red tongue. Perhaps it's tasted flesh. Oh, this is interesting. We have like a pilgrim versus a wolf. Now, I like the pilgrim because the pilgrim is an underrated fighter. I mean, he looks like a puss. But think about this. He, you know, disease blankets. It's like these basketball players come off and they get on a towel. But this team, their like mascot gives them these, you know, rolls out a big box of towels and it says disease towels, but that's crossed off and it says good towels. He rolls that out and gives them to them. That'd be a fun mascot bit. I should write these people and suggest bits for their mascots. Oh, now we've got a fighting Irishman ready to punch someone in the face. Bald with his Irish hat tipped forward. What's great about him is, you know, he's Irish because he's in all green and because his hat has a clover on it, as Irish people would do, and also because he's ready to punch. Although below him is another red bird who also looks ready to punch. I mean, this is an obvious choice. Why would you not go with the drunken Irish fighting man? You know, everyone's fighting against these racist types of things. I like to see them. I think that makes it more fun. For one thing, I like to see the ESPN guys be like, the fighting Irish, you know, they're liquored up and ready to kick some fucking ass at basketball tonight. I've never seen an Irishman so drunk and so ready to put an object in a hole, my friend. Whether it take fisticuffs or just 1,000 beers, this team is ready to play. I couldn't agree more, Bill. I was in the locker room earlier and they were all naked so they could put on their jerseys. Sports are good. Let's see what we've got here. I don't even know how to describe this other than to say it looks like Iron Man, except a round face Iron Man with eyes. And also the same color. It looks like Abraham Lincoln, but with the same colors as Iron Man. I mean, I'm going with round Iron Man. Why would you not go Iron Man? I don't know. Why can't one school be the Iron Man? That would be great. This would be a good way to pull nerds like me into sports. Because, you know, if it was the NYU Spider-Man and they wore Spider-Man themed clothes, I mean, these guys have costumes. The Wolverines? How great would that team be? The Magnetos? I mean, this is all good stuff. The Supermen? Who doesn't want to be that? I guess lady teams, but they'd be the Superwomen or girls or Wonder Women. You know, you could work this out. I don't know why the girl teams have to be the same as the boy teams. I bet there's like a women's tennis team that's the Fighting Irish, and they're like, yeah, it's pretty embarrassing. All right, we have another fucking bird, and then a swoop of red. It looks like a red ribbon. Well, I would never pick that in a million years, a ribbon. I'll take a bird over that, for Christ's sake. Let's see, we've got what looks to be another ram or a fucking cat. I mean, there's like so many animals. How come there's no snail? A million snails out there. Not one fucking team is the snails. Not one fish. No unicorns. No centaurs. How is there no team that's the fucking centaurs? Jesus Christ. You get a guy in a half horse costume. Or you put the top half of a guy on a horse. That's even better. Like a paper. You get a fucking pinata that's made to look like a guy. Throw it on top of a fucking horse, have him run around the basketball court for a while. Awesome. Awesome. The only problem with centaurs is I don't think it's clear whether or not it's acceptable to ride on them. I'm sure they would complain about it, but I mean, come on, you have a horse body. I'm riding your body. I'm not like up on your shoulders on the human part. I'm on the fucking horse part. Give me a break. I guess I'll take the rams. I don't know. Fuck it. Now we have another ram, Jesus Christ, and what looks like a donkey. Well, that's an easy choice. Donkey all the way, the asses. Just because their cheerleaders could have fun with that, I think. You know, they put ass on their cheerleading underwear. That's great stuff. I mean, I can't believe it took Victoria's Secret Pink so long to come up with the idea of putting words on the ass the way cheerleaders have done it forever. That seems like a common thing. I'm looking for some underpants of men's that say that, that have messages on them, you know, one word, juicy or something. I'd like to put that on. I think that might get some good results for me. Who knows? I mean, what I've been doing doesn't work. Okay, here's a rabbit and a bear. Jesus Christ. We've got the hares and the bears fighting it out on the old plank. Tonight. Is that what they call the basketball field? I mean, I don't know. I'll just take the rabbit. Why not? Bugs Bunny, it's fine. Another bear and a beaver or a woodchuck or something like that. I'm not taking the beaver thing, because if it's the beavers, I bet they think they're real fucking hilarious that their school is the beavers. You know what I mean? They're like, oh yeah, I buy a bunch of hats here that say beavers. We're the beavers. And you know, can you imagine if you're like a professor at that school and everyone's coming in their stupid shirts that say, like, I support beavers? You know, the beavers kick ass. Beavers are better than asses because they're playing that donkey team, something like that. And you're just like, all right, seen it. Ooh, alligators versus what appears to also be the devil. Well, I got to go with the devil again. Because you know what? You could end up having devil on devil. That would be a great match. The two Satans, it's like, you know, what's his face? Mephisto fighting whoever the devil is in the DC universe. You know what I mean? That would be awesome. Let's see. Now we've got an Indian and a covered wagon. I like this Indian because he's extremely red. The covered wagon is fun. They might be the, you know, Oregon trails or something. But, you know, I got to go with the racism. This is a show that I do. Oh, Jesus Christ. Another bulldog and a hat or an eagle? Ugh. Well, I hate that he's wearing a hat. A baseball hat. If you're going to put a hat on your dog, don't put a baseball hat on your dog. So it's Eagles. Let's see. This is like a pitchfork thing or a dog that's maybe wearing a king's outfit. All right, I'll take the king's outfit. I like people dressing up their dogs. More people need to do this. I don't see what the harm is. I mean, they don't like it, but so what? Neither does a kid, and you put fucking shoes on your kid. Make me out to be the bad guy. Let's see who we've got here. We're almost through. We've got a dog wearing a stupid hat or an owl. I'll pick the owl. Those fuckers are mean. We've got a guy with a huge mustache versus a bear. Okay, well, I've had enough of the bears, so I'll take mustache. All these men have mustaches, too, or helmets that hide their mustaches, except for the Irishman. An orange guy or a bear? Okay, well, we'll take this retarded orange guy. I can't tell if that's a pig or those are his arms. Either way, a bulldog versus a buffalo of sorts. All right, we'll take the buffalo. Done. Another fucking bird versus a, damn it, a wildcat and a diamond. Ugh. I just circled the wildcat and the diamond. I can't take these birds. Ooh, an Indian. Good. Versus another buffalo. Go Indian. Go race. I mean, Indians versus the buffalo. That's a pretty obvious choice. You know, the only more obvious would be if it was a white man on a train with a machine gun. And finally, another bird with a sailor's hat versus a tiger. All right. Well, we'll take the bird with the sailor hat. All right. There you go. So that's Pete's guide to your brackets. I hope you win a lot of money and that when you win it, you share it with the show. Get in on your NCAA bracket and your local group of guys who likes to do that stuff. You're going to be so pissed because the song is going to be stuck in your head, I guarantee. There's no getting out of this one alive. I wanted to talk about quickly, you know, I listen to a lot of other shows, and once in a while when I hear something I like to tell everyone about it. There's a show called The Jeff Rubin Show. Not for everyone. However, there's one episode, I think it's number 42, that I just listened to, and it's about this place called Action Park. I don't want to say too much about Action Park because they really cover it in this show, but basically it's a water park of total danger. There are deaths. You know, there's a train that goes from one part of the park to the other over the highway that bursts into flames and people have to jump from the train onto the highway. I mean, it's insane. However, I did find an article that was not featured in the show that I've been reading to people, anyone who will let me sit there and read, even if they're not listening and they just space out into nowhere, that I think that you would enjoy. So part of the big thing in this water park was they had a slide that did a loop-de-loop. And what you'll notice about most loop-de-loops is that they are not a perfect circle. However, they are more of an ellipse, which is like a circle that a fat man sat on the side of. The reason being, the G-forces do not work properly in a circle. I'm not going to get sciencey because I don't care. But they had a slide that was basically a loop. It was a long thing that was a loop, and it, you know, you would go on this loop just on your body, and then it would dump you out on this tarp. You know, there wasn't even a bot. You know, traditionally a water slide has a pool at the bottom of some kind. I did, so we had this, like, shitty water park that was near us, Crystal Rapids, when I was a kid. You know, and I think it was shitty because basically it had a wave pool and three slides, maybe four, and that's it. And it was always kind of like, oh yeah, we'll build a new slide any day now, you know what I mean? Or they'd have some half constructed thing that I think was just pieces of old slides from other places that they imported in order to make us think they were going to build something. At any rate, they'd have all this crap, but really the ride sucked. And there was one ride in particular, a body slide. There was one slide where you didn't have to have a tube. And it was really no different from the tube, other than you could just go down on it naked. You know, as a kid, I'd go on the tube ones and fall out of the tube just to try riding them a different way. So I went on this body slide, but the problem is it wasn't fast. It was very slow, you know, and there wasn't enough water, and the slope was not good. It was not steep enough. So I remember standing at the top, and I'm watching this little kid go down, and he's doing the thing where little kids do, where it's like, I want to go down this slide sitting up and with both hands dragging along the wall, because it's like, I want to go on the slide, but not really, you know. I don't want to let the slide just take me away to my doom. Even as a kid, I just sort of wanted to get on the water slide and hope that I'd pass away somehow. You know, it would just take me into a spinning blade, and there'd be no way to stop. I've had recurring nightmares about being in water slides and getting stuck and it fills up with water. But anyway, so I saw this kid go down, and I'm next. And, you know, the lifeguard's there, too. When you're a kid, they seem older. But at this point, I was probably like 12 or 13, so this kid was 17, and I could tell he was not like a grown-up. And he was like, all right, you can go, you know, and they would let you go before the kid was at the bottom. Now, I knew there was this part in the slide where you did a full circle. You know, the slide basically curled around in a 360 on itself. So if you looked at it from above, it would be a perfect circle. And it was very slow. And I was thinking, this kid's going to be going so slow. But the man told me to go, so I'm going. So I go, and I'm headed down the slide. Cruising, you know, I'd do the thing where I'd put my back down and get up on my shoulders. A big discussion when I was a kid with other kids was slide theory, how the fastest way to get down a slide. You know, some kid would be like, oh yeah, I sprayed myself with Pam, so I went down the slide faster. And you're like, oh, fuck you. And in your head, you're thinking, I'm going to do that. Or wax myself. Maybe I could drip birthday candles all over myself. Or do like Ricky Martin did in that video, but times 1,000. So I'm going down the slide as fast as I can, and I'm coming up to the 360, and much to my horror, as I'm about 5 feet away from him, I see this kid scooting along on his butt because he's at a complete standstill. You know, nothing's happening. And I'm thinking, I'm going to just fucking annihilate this kid, and there's nothing you can do, you know. However, I was going fast enough, and he was going slow enough, that he was at the bottom part of the half pipe that makes up the slide. And I was going fast enough that I was up on the side. I whooshed right past him. Didn't even touch him. Just went shooting by. You know, I think he was probably fucking scared out of his mind. I was scared out of my mind. But no one was more surprised than his dad, who was waiting at the bottom to catch him. When a man twice the size of his son comes flying out, clearly he knew his son was coming next. There was much confusion. You know, his arms grazed the sides of my body as he sort of tried to catch me before he realized completely that this was not his son coming down. He did not have like a transformation like in the movie Big as he was headed down the water slide. So anyway, we had this water park and it was crappy, but it was not as crappy as this other park, Action Park, which is the subject of Jeff Rubin, Jeff Rubin 42. And they talked about the loop-de-loop slide on that a little bit, but not as much as I'd like. So I did some of my own research. And I wanted to read, there's two first-hand accounts here. One is of a guy who works there. One is of a guy who, as a child, actually went on the slide. So here's the person who worked there talking about the slide. This was an enjoyable ride to attend because most people were completely afraid of it. A good portion of those who wanted to were nixed because of inappropriate attire. Anyone wearing anything with zippers or grommets or anything that could possibly cause a snag was turned away. Too big? Sorry, you could get stuck. Too small? Ooh, you were probably not going to get up to speed to clear the top. If the rider got to the top, he, again, the riders were mostly dudes, read into that what you will, suffered the final indignity of being sprayed with a garden hose. So you'd get up to the top, and they would soak you down with a hose. You know, this was part of the procedure of getting you wet. The top attendant then instructed the rider on the only acceptable ride position, on your back, feet first, arms folded across chest, ankles crossed. Waited for the hatch attendant to check inside for any weirdness, like cracks or water not flowing, and then whoosh, off they went. They made a god-awful racket in there with the bumping around and the screaming, but they always made it out alive. Although no one was foolish enough to ride it a second time. Now, I mean, the god-awful with the bumping around and the screaming, you know? I mean, they're thrashing, they're being tossed all over the place, screaming. and then they come out the end and never ride it again. I mean, a ride should be thrilling, but if no one who's ridden it would ride it again, it may be a little much. And it shows the ending part where you get dumped out onto just a huge tarp. There's no pool of water. It's just a big tarp on the ground. Let's read the account of a guy who rode it as a child. I vividly remember the sensation of my feet going up as I realized, here comes the loop! I remember being ecstatic when I had cleared the pinnacle of the loop. This is what I love about this. I love a story where someone is thinking, I'm doing it! And then then here's what happens. I remember being ecstatic when I had cleared the pinnacle of the loop. However, the worst was yet to come. Apparently, my sub-100-pound body was not heavy enough for the ride, and rather than sticking to the side of the slide on the back end of the loop, I actually fell to the bottom of the loop. I smacked the back of my head on the slide and was nearly knocked unconscious. It was then that I saw a light as I sputtered out of the exit of the tube. I was able to orient myself enough to get to my feet and smile with pride as the stunned crowd cheered for the little kid who just went down the most dangerous water slide of all time. It was closed again within minutes, and although I went to the park a dozen times after that day, I never saw that slide opened again. The end. Oh, also, a quick thing. The biggest problem is that sand and dirt and such would collect at the bottom of the loop, and the people would start coming out with abrasions over their entire backs. Then they would have to close it down and clean it up. Pretty great. Anyway, that's Action Park. So listen to that episode. It's great. I mean, this is merely one small aspect of a horrid park meant for failure. It reminded me of a much lesser story of a water park we went to. When I was a young man, we took this trip to South Dakota with our dad. I might have talked about this a little bit on the previous dad episode. We did a dad cast in the past. Put up the mast. I couldn't think of another rhyme. He took us on this trip to South Dakota. I think this was like his midlife crisis of sorts. I don't know, because we ended up going to two different water parks and also buying day passes to go-karts. And we brought a Nintendo 64 with us and hooked it up in the hotel room and played Mario Kart. I don't know how this sort of thing happens. I don't think this sort of thing does happen, but that's what we did. And ate a lot of pizza and McDonald's. So we went to this one water park, and some of the rides were, to me, quite questionable. First, there was a tube slide, which was fairly normal. You would go down like a small slide portion into a pool, and then you'd be kind of swirling in this pool, and you'd go down the next slide. It was like a lazy river with little slide portions in between the lazy parts. However, there was one part where it kind of went in a circle, and it would start you spinning in your tube, and when you came out of the circle part, you would be spinning around, and that was the only portion of the ride where the walls on both sides were made of rock. So you would scrape your arms and legs all up and down these rocks as soon as you came out of there, you know what I mean? And so your first time going down, you're blissfully unaware of what you're going to hit, and then you just basically wipe yourself clean of skin all over the rocks. They also had a ride that was basically just a big wide slide that ended far above the pool below it. So it was kind of just a free fall. They also had a flush slide. Now this sounds great, right? It sounds like a good thing. But what it was is it was like a slide where you sit at the top and this huge tank fills up. It looked like a giant bong filled with water behind you, and it would fill up. And then when the guy told you to go, it would eject and blow you down the slide. You know what I mean? And you'd ride down in this extra huge pool of water. However, the problem was this. Either the pool outran you because you were slower than the water. You outran the pool, and then you just started going slow with a big thing of water behind you. Or you kept pace with the pool and had a great ride, except that it was like you were on a slide that had 8 inches of water going down it. So it was like you were half drowning the entire time. Now, I remember going down this, and it didn't work for me. And then we were waiting at the bottom, and we saw my dad go down. And we saw him come down. By that, I mean at every corner that the slide took, every turn of the slide, you saw his legs come up over the side. At one point, saw his legs come over the side, and he definitely turned over onto his stomach. If you're turning over onto your stomach on the slide is just in control at that point. You're not even affecting the fall, you know what I mean? You're at the mercy of this ride and the nameless ride maker who, I've never been to an amusement park. They should put up, if you go to the fucking doctor, they have to put up a placard that says like, oh, I'm a doctor of this and that, and here's my diploma. But when you go on a roller coaster, they have no such thing. Not once have I seen a thing that said, oh, this was made by a Swiss designer who also designed these buildings that are still operational. And, you know, he designed the Eye, that huge Ferris wheel. So, I mean, this is probably fine. I can trust this. He designed the first Batman ride. Everything's great. You know, and if someone dies on your ride, you should have to get recertified or something. So then finally they had a ride, I'll never forget, called the Banzai. It was two side-by-side slides, and they're the kind where it goes almost straight down, then flattens out, then straight down, then flattens out, then straight down and flattens out. And it was two side-by-side, so you could race somebody, you know, so I race somebody. And then we're watching our dad go down, and he goes down the straight part, comes to the flat part, and then catches air. He's in the air, not contacting the slide, bashes into the ground on the next flat part, and then catches air again, way more severely, and smashes his back, partially on the side, partially on the bottom of the slide. And this was audible from the bottom, you know, like a, you know, and then he would catch air again, and then there was a, and you could tell, I mean, this was a man who was just, I don't know why he agreed to this after going down the flush. He was into riding the rides. I don't think we had to be like, come on, Dad, ride the ride. But I mean, after you go down one slide at a park where it scrapes the skin off of you, you become a skinless man. Skinless, boneless man breast. Then you go on another ride that seems intended to sort of drown you and sort of throw you off the side. How many more rides do you need to do before you say, I think I'm going to just sit here and eat the worst pizza ever, rather than continue to go down the slides? The answer was one, and he went down that and destroyed himself. And then, you know, the ride was so serious and so severe that he got off it and said, I think I'm done. You know what I mean? I think that's my last. I'm lucky to be alive. I'm fortunate to have what little health that I have at this point. It's time for me to sort of move on. There was one other water park thing about him that we needed to discuss too. I may have told it on the other one. One time, as a kid, he took us to Waterworld, you know. And we changed clothes, we changed into our swimsuits, and he came out in a fucking Speedo. This was in, like, the mid-90s, probably. No one was wearing Speedos. Maybe Europeans. But nobody was wearing Speedos, you know what I mean? This was not 1970, where maybe somebody was, I don't know. He was wearing a Speedo. And it was so weird. I mean, amongst everything else, I don't think that this was a... I mean, he wasn't wearing it to be fun. You know what I mean? He was wearing it as his swimsuit. I don't know if maybe he thought he could pick up on chicks or something. I honestly don't know. I try not to get into the mouth of madness. But he was wearing the Speedo. And what's crazy, okay, if your dad takes you to the pool and wears a Speedo, that's bad. But at least if he's in the fucking pool, or if he was tanning all day or something, there'd be some reason, or if he's just swimming all day, you're like, eh, fuck it. You'd only see him from the waist up anyway. What's the difference? But when you're at a water park, you're basically just standing in line all day. And you're just standing next to your dad in his briefs. You know what I mean? You're seeing the whole goods. And when it's your dad, you're like associated with him. You know, it's not just like some guy in a Speedo. If some guy wants to wear a Speedo, I don't really care. But when my dad wears a Speedo, and then you have to be chatting with him, and you're like, yeah, this dinosaur water slide should be pretty fucking fun. I mean, you get halfway through, you're like, this dinosaur ride should be... And then you're like, you are wearing a Speedo, aren't you? That's still real. I thought maybe if I turned away, my mind would file that away. But no, this is real. This is a real thing. This is happening for real. Anyway, I just wanted to share that little tidbit about growing up Dirk, you know? That's just how it is where I'm from. It's snowing today. I wanted to ask anybody, is there any indignity worse than having to, you know, your car is all frozen, and I couldn't get the driver's side door of my car open. So I had to go around to the passenger side, and that side I could get and unlock it. And then I tried heating it up and everything, and I still couldn't get in, so I had to crawl over the center console to get in. Is there anything more humiliating than trying to get over? You're covered in snow, so you're trying not to get snow all the fuck over the place. 29 years old, in a compact car, trying to crawl over and get into the fucking driver's seat to drive myself to work. I mean, I should have just called in sick. That should be a thing where I can say, I'm not coming in today. That's too much. You can't expect me to come into work after crawling over the console. I'm not an animal, you know? I have to go back inside, reclaim my dignity, and then maybe I'll be ready to work. Maybe. I can't guarantee anything. But on the other hand, I do feel like some people just kind of take the snow as their opportunity car-wise to, you know, flaunt the law. You know, they'll just park somewhere. There's somebody parked in the driveway of our work, you know what I mean? People could not get in to the parking area. And I'm thinking, they wouldn't do this if there was no snow. This never has happened where I've had to go outside and be like, can you not park in the spot where people need to drive? You had to drive to get to where you are. Can you not understand that someone else may need to do the same thing? You know what I'm saying? But people, I think, take the snow as an, you know, I swear to Christ, it's only a matter of time till I see someone, you know, park in a handicap spot and they just take a bunch of snow and rub it on the handicap sign. It's not even snow on the ground. They take it from over on the side of the road, that dirty snow, and they just rub it over the sign and say, ah, shit, you know, I didn't even know. I didn't even know that there was a handicap place here for, you know, a retarded parking spot. I just thought it was regular. Look, it's covered in snow. How could I possibly know? You know how you know it's the best spot. What's the best spot? Oh, that's the handicap spot? What a coincidence. Someone should make a convenient spot that's not necessarily the best spot. We should be able to divide this somehow. Civil engineering should get on that immediately. Immediately. I don't know why you keep screwing around. I saw a woman's vagina the other day. She was wearing those pants that are tights, but I saw her entire vagina. I mean, everyone talks about, you know, you can see the whole outline of the butt, which is very true. You can see the crack. You can see the top, if there is one, and you can see the bottom, which there always is. You can see the whole outline of the butt. However, I saw this woman's vagina, by which I mean you've got the two sort of bulges and then a slice in the center. I mean, this was grotesque. I like a good vagina as much as the next man. Maybe not that much. I'm not really that into the vaginas. But when it's just out there, it's almost like looking at a vagina that's cut off of a human body, like something Jeffrey Dahmer had in his freezer, when you see it in that way. And these tights were so tight that they were seemed to be crossing the vaginal plane inside the vagina. They were bisecting the vagina in the slit area. I don't know how to describe this without using the bad words like slit, you know, but that's what it was. I'm using the bad words, but just imagine this person wearing the bad pants. I saw her vagina. I don't even know her. I don't remember what her face looks like, but I see her vagina every time I close my eyes, and I don't want to. That's the worst part. Why couldn't... I don't know. I don't know that there's such thing as a nice vagina when you see just a strange vagina crossing the parking lot that way. Maybe I'm too old for this shit. Like Donald Glover... I can't handle it anymore. I can't just be seeing vaginas when I'm trying to eat a fucking burrito somewhere for lunch. And then be like, oh yeah, there's a vagina. This is great. That's just what I wanted. You know what I mean? Oh, good. That looks good. Does she have a roommate or friends? She was there with other people. No one said, I can see your whole vagina. Either put on some underpants or put a skirt over that or put on a fucking maxi pad so at least I can't see the inside. Not only just the outside sides, but the inside side. It was like two chicken breasts just hanging down between her legs. It was grotesque. Never again do I want to see. It turned me off of vaginas. I might be done with vaginas forever. I might not want to look at another one. I might just stick to dicks. Just stick to a nice, sweet dick. And at least that way you know what you're getting, for God's sake. Grab onto that, you feel safe. You feel wanted. You feel like maybe you're not going to be alone forever. That's probably the end of the show, isn't it? Sounds like it. Thanks to everybody for listening. Share it on Facebook. I don't know. I don't even care anymore. Listen to this and just look up at the stars and think about how it's all going to end. Why that? My robot. Then I.